As the UN prepared for a climate summit in New York City, the first major climate march in the U.S. since the pandemic saw thousands of protesters calling on world leaders to end fossil fuel use.
We need clean air!
Not another billionaire!
We need clean air!
But at the UN Climate Ambition Summit itself, the silence of key greenhouse gas emitters was deafening. Living on Earth's Paloma Beltran tuned into the summit. So what happened or didn't happen, maybe I should say?
Hi, Jenny. With just 10 weeks before the big UN climate conference in Dubai, UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres didn't mince words. He declared that with climate disruption, humanity has opened the gates to hell.
Oh, wow. Not exactly polite diplomatic language.
Right? So to highlight the need for serious action, only the first movers and doers with new plans were given time at the mic. Countries that made the cut included Pakistan, Vietnam, Tiny Tuvalu, and coalitions like the European Union. But notably absent were several heads of big emitting countries like China, France, India, the United Kingdom, and the United States.
Their silence must have stung for those who did show up.
Yes. Lydie Nakpil, the coordinator of the Asia People's Movement on Debt and Development, said it's time to support the Loss and Damage Fund for the most vulnerable countries who have done the least to cause climate change.
We, the people of the Global South, are not asking for aid or assistance. Climate finance is an obligation and part of reparations for historical and continuing harms and injustices. We have a right not just to survive, but to build a better home and future for our children.
Sounds like they're demanding more action, less talk.
Yeah, and so far, Austria promised 50 million euros for loss and damage, and Spain pledged 225 million euros to the Green Climate Fund. But several leaders, like Colombia's president Gustavo Petro, speaking through a translator, said green financial systems are broken.
Major financial resources can only be produced if we restructure the global financial system.
The prime minister of Barbados, Mia Motley, underscored how the rich fossil fuel, finance, and insurance industries have all profited from the climate crisis.
Leaving 10 or 15% on the table leaves you with a more than a belly full to be able to satisfy your shareholders and the dividends that you pay them. But if you don't take corrective action now, you will have to tell us where you have been keeping all of your scientific research to relocate you and your families to the planet Mars or the planet Pluto.
In California, Governor Gavin Newsom, the only U.S. leader to speak, left no doubt about who's to blame.
This climate crisis is a fossil fuel crisis. This climate crisis persists. It's not complicated. It's not complicated. It's the burning of oil. It's the burning of gas. It's the burning of coal. And we need to call that out. For decades and decades, the oil industry has been playing each and every one of us in this room for fools.
So, Paloma, what are the major takeaways from the summit? How close are we to heeding the Secretary General's warning about the gates of hell?
Well, the world still has a lot of work to do to deal with the climate emergency. But since the demons we've unleashed are already taking a toll, countries announced partnerships to help former colonies cope. Australia and Tuvalu agreed to work together to help the small island state address sea level rise, while Spain and the Dominican Republic declared a similar relationship. The Green Climate Fund also announced $150 million for early disaster warning systems in Cambodia, Somalia, and other places. And Secretary General Antonio Guterres ended the day on an optimistic note, proclaiming that the meeting had started as an ambition summit and ended as a hope summit, gearing up the world for the climate talks in Dubai in 2 months.
Thanks, Paloma. That's Living on Earth's Paloma Beltran.